At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome. I'm a little late. Apologies. Dee Dee and Carr are back tonight, though, which is really exciting. So I'm really glad to have them back. Hope everybody's having a wonderful Sunday night. I know we had to watch it live. We usually would have been live already, but everybody had to watch the show live because, unfortunately, they're not letting us watch it on streaming. Hey, Judy. Hi, Geek in the Kitchen. Can everybody hear me? I was wondering if my sound was okay. We're just waiting on Cara and Dee Dee to get here. Hola, Julie, Judy. Well, I see. Hi.
Excellent. Hello, everyone. Moonflower first. Hello, Geek in the Kitchen. Thank you for verifying that. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, guys.
I'm good. How are y'all?
I'm okay. I had a flat tire the other day, so I had like that whole tow truck situation. But I'm good. I can't complain, you know. I'm actually taking this as a break. So now that my preferred car is out of service while it's getting fixed, I'm just not going to do nothing. I'm taking it as, oh, well, I can't do anything. So that's how it's going to go. So part three of this tell-all has aired. There's a lot. I have notes. They're kind of all over the place. I probably have like pages and pages. So I don't even know where to start. So first of all, what did you think of this tell-all as a whole? And then tell me where you want to go and what subjects that you want us to cover, because I got a million different things to talk about.
Okay, we please start with how stupid Angela looked tonight.
We can start there. Yes. So we heard from Todd, which is the private investigator, and out of 189 pages of evidence that he produced, which I think probably was BS, right? He said he had 189 pages, none of which he could conclude that Michael was speaking to any women in a romantic way. He also could not conclude that Michael was doing anything shady or being a scammer in any way. And I feel like the information that Angela has been asking for was given to her. It was literally served to her on a silver platter. He told her, like, look, and he even had a graph of all of the people that he was interacting with. Like, it was very legit. Like, it had the lines and everything. They couldn't find that he was interacting with any woman specifically on a regular basis for like years, right? Like because she's like, oh, he's cheating on me. He's scamming me. So what is your reaction to the results? Because, you know, I had asked y'all this question before and I was like, if Michael is scamming Angela, would that change anything? And you both said no. So now that we know for a fact that at least online, there's no trail of a scam, how does this make you guys feel?
So happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And who's to say that he didn't have a fake account with a fake name, with a fake picture?
Well, yeah, he brought up something about a Facebook account. He said that Michael had a Facebook account, but he said he also had four additional accounts
Instagram. Yeah, four Instagram.
If you remember back a couple of years ago, there was all kinds of people setting up accounts as Michael. So that to either get him in trouble, to break them up, to start shit, to stir the pot, all that. None of that was legit. None of them were verified. All that stuff. I am so happy to see him vindicated. But what gets me the most is that this is a private investigator hired by her.
Right.
Hand selected by her. He gives her all the results, and she was so hoping that there was anything bad, that even when the good came out, She still is calling him names and still calling him a liar and still accusing him. Like, also, we need to give her a lie detector test about her Botox. There ain't no way she's getting Botox. And if she is, she needs a refund.
Well,
I'm not that right.
She didn't want to believe that. Well, what's the best way to word this? She was like, she was praying that it came out that he wasn't doing anything wrong. And it did come out that way. And her reaction was really strange for somebody who really wanted a certain result. She wanted the truth. So it makes me wonder, because it always seemed like when she brought him over here, she was really unsure, right? When she was in Abidjan, she found out a lot of information about the Paradise Men. Oh, we got to talk about that too. But she still brought him over here. And it kind of seems like to me she's looking for a reason to send him back.
Yeah.
But she won't send him back because he literally requested that she send him back. But I feel like she's like, well, I don't want him, but I also want to make his life a living hell since he's here. Do you feel like that's kind of the way she treats him? Because she's like, well, I shouldn't have brought him here, but at least now that he's here, I can make sure that he has the worst possible life because he pissed me off.
Funny, because he's not here on a K-1. He's here on the spousal visa. So he's automatically a permanent resident. So she can't just send him back. Boardsies. She can't send him back.
Well, no, she can't send him back because it's not the, like you said, not the 90-day visa where you have a certain amount of time to either get married or dissolve the relationship and send the person back. Yeah, that visa was denied. Michael did apply for that visa and it was denied. He actually applied for like 3 visas, I believe. 2 were denied and the spousal was approved. And no one really explains to you, because we've heard this from a lot of people who've been through this process. No one explains to you why a visa is approved or denied. You just get an approval or a denial, no explanation. And I don't know if it's because if they give you the information, you know, and then people would share that information online, then there would be more fraud. Oh, I want to ask y'all about this Paradise Men group, because everybody in the tell-all cast who was foreign said that they were in some sort of group chat with other people in that same situation. So Angela seemed to think that the only reason why Michael was involved in that was because he was scamming her. But Thais and Kobe and Sophie, everybody was like, well, no, this is a very scary and complicated process. And people who are in like situations share information. And it makes a lot of sense. Like if you're new to insider trading or the stock market, you're going to join a bunch of different groups of people who've been doing it for a long time, because I recently started investing. I didn't know what I was doing, and it's very scary when you don't know what you're doing and you're spending a lot of money. So what do you guys think about all of the cast being involved in a group of some sort about immigration and visas?
I'd do it. If I was moving into a different country, I would be in touch with as many people as I could, trying to help me navigate my way.
It's like the same thing when you do like the group texting, you know, I mean, you ask questions, you know, mm-hmm. you there for like support or whatever it is that your little group needs. So I don't see nothing wrong with it.
So I think Angela, I could be wrong, this is just my opinion. I think that she's looking for a reason for him to be guilty of something, because the way that she overreacted throughout the season, it's painting a picture of her that she really wants to erase. And even at the tell-all, even in the mansion, she's reacted to this man and treated this man a way. You know, Kobe is actually going to address it on the next part 4, of how he just feels like, and actually, I believe Jasmine talked about it tonight. She was like, not even an animal should be treated. She's like, I wouldn't treat a dog. She's like, the dog could pee all over the floor, poop all over the floor. I would still never treat that dog the way that she treats this man. And I feel like Angela is definitely trying to do a little damage control, because I do think she was under the impression she was going to catch him doing all types of shit, right? I think that she was counting on that, and that was going to justify the way that she treated him all season and at this tell-all. And now that she can't even justify her actions, she's scrambling like, well, now people are going to hate me. You know, like, well, what can
people
I do? Because now
people's always hated Angela. I mean, because now they're seeing that she has been literally treating Michael like a piece of crap since pretty much from day one.
My heart absolutely broke when he said, "This is taking a toll on me mentally." Where is TLC's support? Like, I'm so disappointed in TLC. They haven't supported him through any of this. They need to be getting her off the damn screen, period. They need to be done with her. But he's physically impacted. I'm sure now he's okay, but he's going through it. Where's his support?
I do know that there are mental health counselors available at the tell-all, but that's not enough, because mental health is not something that you can address and resolve in 1 or 2 days. It's an ongoing, support process.
I call bullshit. If they were doing anything about any of this situation, we wouldn't be seeing that hag at all, ever. If they were doing anything about it.
A lot of people online keep saying this. They were like, if this was role reversal, gender reversal, and there was a man that got all in a woman's face while she was standing over a balcony, the way that she did, or chased him through the house, and they said that they wouldn't have aired it. They would have put a disclaimer at the beginning of the episode for abuse. And they were like, why is it that we seem to ignore spousal abuse when it's coming from a woman as though it doesn't exist? And I feel like that's 100% accurate. We turn a blind eye to that, because the way that everyone reacted to Ed and the way that he treated Liz, they held him accountable. Everyone took a shot at him. But nobody's taking a shot at Angela. And it could be that they're scared of her. Have you ever noticed whenever she would walk into a room at the mansion and somebody was trying to interact with Michael, they would run away? It could possibly be that they're just scared to interact with her. Because did you see the way that they removed the pool stick and the balls from the pool table? They don't know how serious this is. They don't know if it's going to go from verbal to physical. And literally the people in the house don't know. So imagine what that's like for Michael. And say there's no cameras around, no strangers around. They're just at her house. And he pisses her off, which, like he said tonight, whenever I open my mouth, I piss her off. So just imagine what he's going through, living in constant fear, right? Like, that is really, really scary.
Yeah. It just makes me sick. I feel so bad for him. I'm so happy that he's vindicated, but I'm so disappointed in TLC. I just hope that once this is done, we don't ever see her again.
Sure we probably will, because she brings the drama to TLC, because the other ones don't want to have anything to do with TLC anymore. So,
but drama is one thing. Like, I understand drama, and we are all for drama, but I've never been one for abuse or seeing people get hurt. You know, there's a line, right? Like, we do have to draw a line somewhere.
There is a line, but TLC don't care. As long as it brings views, as long as people are into it, TLC don't care. We've done seen that. How many episodes or how many seasons we've done watched where TLC just don't care? As long as it brings them views, they don't care.
I think now that Angela has showed her ass extra tonight, I think it might be the end. Because she's got nothing. Nobody is in support of this woman. She's batshit crazy. Even Skyla isn't in support of her.
Skyla's never supported this. Yeah. But even Skyla, she's like, well, she's miserable and she's yelling and she's screaming. Even she can't justify, you know, the way she's treating him. And then after tonight, seeing that they can't even prove that he's cheating or scamming, and she just walked away. She's like, well, I'm leaving. I don't even want to be here anymore. I'm done. I don't want to be a part of this. Because she was actually, I've never met anybody who wanted their relationship to fail as much as she did.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, she was in her favor, so she was leaving. Nobody was, poor Angela, you've been through it all, blah, blah, blah. Everybody was on Michael's side, rightfully so. And she couldn't handle it, so she's just going to leave.
It's kind of disrespectful, too, because she made all of the other cast members sit through her story and watch it. And then when it's time for them to discuss their story, they leave. Remember back in the day, Memphis did that. She had something to say about every single person's relationship, and then it was time for her and Hamza to do their segment, and she left. She yep. refused to be a part of it because she didn't want that judgment. And I think that might be the same issue with Angela after she realized that there was nothing going on and she couldn't justify her actions anymore and the way she treated him. She was like, well, I don't want all of this panel to sit here and judge me, because she knew it was coming, right? You know it's coming. Nobody is okay with the way you were treating him. And now that you have no justification for it, you're kind of going to be held accountable for that. And she was like,
when someone is on her side, Ed says, we get it, girl. You've really been through it, blah, blah, blah. She's like, thank you, thank you. And then someone says, but you did this. It's none of your damn business. And she's yelling at everyone who is on Michael's side. If you don't side with her, you're the enemy.
Well,
still today, she attacks everybody that says anything positive about Michael. Yeah. She attacks them.
She does.
Man, and I hope she comes for me.
That is such a tall order, right? Michael's got 100,000 plus followers on Instagram, over 100,000 on TikTok. It's a really tall. Can you imagine declaring war on every single person that takes, I don't want to say even takes Michael's side, just takes the side of what's right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't even want to make this a Team Angela and Team Michael thing, because there's no such thing. It's just the side of what's right. If you don't want to be with a person and you don't love a person, cut them loose.
Yeah.
You do not have the right to treat them the way that she treats him and to make his life a living hell just because you are like, oh, well, I brought him here, but I wish I shouldn't have. Then, like, send him back or divorce him, let him go. You do not have the right. Just like if you adopt an animal, right? You adopt an animal and then the animal, it turns to be too much work for you, right? You don't get to neglect the animal and give the animal no time. Don't walk the animal. Don't feed the animal. You take it to the shelter and find someone who's going to give the dog or cat or whatever the attention it needs. You don't get to just neglect it. And this is, I feel like she purchased a puppy. Is this how she's treating the situation? And then she's like, well, I don't want to clean up after this puppy, so now I'm just going to kick the puppy around, right? Like, I feel like that is literally what we're watching. And it's almost sick that they aired it, because I'm like, at some point, you have to decipher between entertainment and abuse, right? Yep. And we've been watching reality TV, oh my gosh, since the early 90s, right? I think early 90s is when we hit the real world, you know, in the newer reality TVs. And they had to decipher between what's fighting violence, abuse, and entertainment. And I feel like at this point, the line is so obscured that these production companies are like, oh yeah, they're throwing drinks at each other. They're throwing things at, they're flipping tables. Let's air that, right? And yeah. I feel like you're losing sight of entertainment. You can't glorify abuse. You can't glorify violence in any level. If it's an illegal activity outside of your show, you shouldn't be airing it.
As I posted on my Instagram, he has been through hell and lived with the devil. I have never been happy to see someone free.
I
know, that's right. He deserves it. He deserves that. I mean, he hands down, he deserves that green card. He deserves it. And even if he was scamming her, he still deserves it, because he still went through hell and back to get it.
Team Michael all the way.
Yeah.
I'm happy for him. And if he's finally in a good place and found peace, I'm happy. Just like when two people get married, right? You're taking a chance on each other and then it doesn't work out. Then you get divorced and you wish each other the best and you both should move on. And I feel like she's like, well, yeah, it didn't work out, but I need to make sure that I ruin the rest of his life. Like, he's never going to have any happy days after me. That's not how divorce works.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you have to, and I know there's bitterness and there's holding grudges and being petty, but she's taking it to a whole nother level. Right. Like, she took away his cell phone. She did so much to control him. And if you didn't want him here, send him back. You know, like, there's no reason why you should dedicate so much of your life to trying to destroy another person, right? Like, that is just such
But you know what? But you know what? What I always say, the guilty dog always barks. She has been accusing him. She has been accusing him every single day, every second of every minute of every hour of every day. And the main, I mean, the real thing is, she's the one that's been cheating on him, and she's been doing it out in the open. So yeah, now since, so now since we all, I mean, we've seen it. I mean, there was her doctor that she was cheating on him with. There was the guy in Canada. There was like some more guys that she's cheating on him with. So since she, at the end of the day, she's the one that's guilty of everything. And on top of that, she's a narcissist. And when you're a narcissist and you get called out on being wrong about something, what do narcissists do? They explode. They cannot handle the truth.
100%.
Just saying.
So Thais got some new boobs, right? Like, we found out that Thais's boobs were new. I didn't notice. Jasmine's boobs looked very new at this tell-all, but Thais, she didn't go big because Patrick was like, you know, you should go Demi Moore striptease big. She didn't go Jasmine big.
I thought Thais were bigger than the picture of Demi Moore.
Did you?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that they were very modest. Like, Yara is, like, big, right? I feel like Yara went a little bigger than Thais did, right? And
Yara, but Thais's looks more, or maybe the way she had her bathing suit on, hers was more natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. If she didn't tell us they were not natural, I wouldn't have known. I thought they looked really, like, Jasmine couldn't convince me that those water balloons are just popped up that way. Right? Like, the way that they are.
They ain't nothing, no way, no how. Anything on Jasmine's body is normal. Because whoever did her, they jacked her up.
Yep. Well,
she went to see Darcy and Stacey's doctor.
They're just, well, when she takes certain angles of pictures, the way that her shoulders, and it's just, it looks disproportionate. You know, it's just, but it's because the size is too big for her stature. I think she looks great, you know, but if you want people to believe that they were natural, that's going to be a little difficult, right? Like, I feel like it's not going to be easy. Oh, so Thais doesn't want to have another kid for 5 years. And I want to get into something that she said, because I accidentally posted on X and I was like, hey, do you guys think it's a good thing that Thais puts Alessi in daycare? Because, you know, Thais is a stay-at-home mom. And man, I got so many stay-at-home moms that attacked me and told me that I was a piece of crap for even bringing that up. So what is the deal with stay-at-home moms and daycare? I know that being a homemaker is very difficult. I know when Patrick is out of town a lot for work, you know, running a household is not easy when you're a mom. So do you guys think that the daycare is a good thing for the child? Because a lot of people told me that children need that separation from their parents. It's good for social skills. So how do you guys feel about the Alessi going to daycare at such a young age?
I mean, I was never a stay-at-home mom. I worked. I went back to work when my son was 3 weeks old. But I think that daycare is important to socialize with other children. And I think daycare is important for parents to be able to get out and stuff. There's nothing wrong with it either way. Some moms choose to never put their kids in daycare. That's each parent's choice, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I mean, I've never been a stay-at-home mom neither, but I mean, if that's what, because if you're an only child, if she is the only child and she doesn't have no interaction with no other children, how is she going to be able to have any kind of social life? She's not even going to know that there's a world outside of her little bubble. But at the end of the day, I mean, it depends on the mom. Maybe Thais has got stuff going on that we don't know about that she needs to put Alessi in daycare.
Right. I had to do a damage control post on Twitter because I was like, guys, I am not, like, because they were like, how dare you? They said I was basically minimalizing a mother's role or her task. And I was like, well, that definitely wasn't what I was trying to do. I know preschool is very, very important. Like, I've been told by a lot of moms, like, that you need to put your child in preschool as soon as it's time for that age for their development. And, you know, they start learning at an earlier age. But I didn't know if, like, between ages 1 and 3, I was like, what is that window in people's feeling on putting your child in daycare then? I was just curious.
I mean, I like I said, I had to work, so I didn't have a choice. If I had the choice, I probably still would. I would still have that bit of separation, because it's important to separate your child from the parent, as hard as it is.
See,
it's important for them to have that bonding with other children, the social skills, all of that that, you know, they might not get otherwise. My kids are 6 years apart. So they weren't, you know, I didn't have two littles to play at the same time. I mean, I eventually did, but it wasn't two littles to play at the same time.
See, I was the youngest. My sister was like 5 or 6 years older than me. My brother was 5 years older than me. So I actually was a mama's boy, and I slept in the bed with my mom till I was 12, and she homeschooled me till I was third grade. So I didn't have any good social interaction. So when I started school, my social interaction was very, very minimal. And, you know, the teachers would like purposely put me with other kids to try to get me to come out of my shell. So I do know it's so important. You know, I know that my mom was trying to do the better thing for me. We didn't live in the best area, so sending me to school wasn't the best option until she was able to put me in private school. But I still think it would have been way better for me if I would have started school like everybody else in kindergarten instead of in third grade.
But even now, though, that kind of brings up another point. Like, the world's scary now. It's a scary freaking place. So I don't know. If I had little bitties, now that I have a granddaughter, I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, she's a baby. I don't know how I feel about it until we get there. But I would be terrified nowadays to just hope that this person that I'm dropping my kids off with are good people.
That,
you know,
that's a good point.
Terrified this day and time. Yeah. I would. Yeah.
So I want to talk about sharing locations because this came up again tonight. Obviously, we know Gino and Jasmine, they were sharing location. Then we found out tonight that John and Megan, who are engaged, we knew that, but they just now caught up with regular life. So they announced their engagement, and he omitted that he was in Miami. You know, Florida is not in Miami, or Miami is not in Florida. That's like a whole different entity, right? So Miami is known for beautiful people, drinks, clubs, you know, partying. So he's just like, oh, I'm working in Florida. He didn't specifically say where in Florida. Obviously, she could see his location. So what do you think about married couples sharing location? I know we talked about this before, but Sophie said that she was tracking Rob's location before she even got over here when she was still in London. So how do you guys feel about, because I believe that trust is more important than anything in a relationship. And I feel like if you need to track somebody's location, you probably don't trust them and you probably shouldn't be married, right? Like if I have to wonder where you are and then go behind your back to figure out where you are, our marriage has way more issues than we have addressed, right?
There ain't no way my husband's tracking me. No way I'm tracking him. But I do track my best friend, and she tracks me.
Okay. Okay. See, Moonflower says it's okay to share a location as long as it's not because of trust. So that's like you and your best friend. It's not a trust issue. You want to know where she is, and she's okay, and vice versa. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Because if, say, for instance, Patrick, he travels all the time. Wouldn't it make you feel better that you know that he's made it to his hotel safely, or
it's one thing to share your location because they're traveling, and it's another thing because you making them share their location because you don't trust them.
Right.
Yep. Like when I'm home, my location is off. Yep. Nobody know where I'm at. Yep. And you know what I'm saying? But when I travel, because you know, you guys know that I travel to California a lot. So when I'm out traveling, of course, I'll cut it on, especially this day and time, so people can know where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? But if the person that I'm with, if I have to make them share their location, or if they think they need to have my location, we don't need to be together.
Yep.
'Cause if you don't trust me, then I don't need you.
Yep.
Yeah,
because I'm the kind of person, if I'm gonna do something, I will do it in your face and take pictures.
Yep.
Just saying.
Absolutely. You don't need receipts because I'll bring them for you.
So John and Thais, even though they bonded on this trip to Brazil, they still don't get along. And apparently John will go to their home, Patrick and Thais' home, and not even acknowledge Thais. I mean, he denies it, but Thais says he does. And normally women tell the truth. So he was like, he will come to our house and not even acknowledge my presence. And I was asking this question on Twitter, Is it John, and is John required to have a good relationship with Thais? Is that a requirement when you're married to someone that you get along with their siblings? Or is that like an extra thing that is good to have? Like, for instance, Kara, if your husband brother didn't like you, is it your husband's responsibility to repair that relationship?
No, but it's my husband's responsibility to have my back.
So Patrick needs to stand up for her and stop being quiet. So basically,
if my husband's brother was saying some shit about me, my husband better get up and put him on his ass.
Okay, so that's okay. So Patrick being quiet is doing damage to their relationship, right? Because yeah. She was literally crying, and Patrick is just like, "Oh yeah, I see that." And I'm like, "You," because he's like,
"I didn't see it. Someone had to tell him she's crying."
But the reason why she was crying was stupid.
And that's yes, 100%, 100%.
But as a husband, even if it's stupid, you're still supposed to have your wife's back, right?
But you're still supposed to notice she's crying.
Yeah, yeah, because
at least notice that she's crying. But I mean, those were crocodile tears. So I mean,
she was ridiculous on this episode. Absolutely ridiculous. I had a hard time fighting with her.
It seemed like the most issue they have is her and John not getting along, and she's always hated John, right? I remember the first time she met him. I remember the first time they interacted. She didn't want him. She kicked him out of the house. Remember when they lived in Texas? She mm-hmm. literally kicked him out of the house. That was her doing. So I'm not exactly sure why she thinks he's ever going to be excited to see her, yeah. right? Like, she went out of her way to make sure that he couldn't live in the house that he had lived in for so many years. She just didn't want his presence around. So when you do see the person that you made homeless, basically, you know, they're not going to be like, "Oh my God, hey, let's hug. How have you been?" They're basically going to look at you with a side eye and be like, "I don't like you." And it's hard because relationships, siblings and families and in-laws, those are not things that you can control. How people feel about you, you really can't control that. And it's difficult when you're put between two people that you love, right? Like, especially for a man, if it's between like his brother. Patrick doesn't have a lot of family left, right? His brother is basically it. And then his wife, the person that he loves more than anyone, it's really difficult for you to choose between those two people. They're literally the only two people that you have, right? So I understand.
He's done a pretty good job at choosing his dad over his wife.
Yeah. You're right. You're 100% right. Whatever his dad wants or needs, it's always no question of, is it okay?
Yeah.
It's always whatever he needs. And see, I don't know if I fully blame Patrick for that because of the trauma that he went through as a child. But I do think that excuses are excuses. You know, you have to learn to love people the correct way. And when you make a vow and get married, that person, no decision should ever be made without that person. And I think a lot of people don't remember that when you're married, it's not just about you anymore. It's about you and that person. You become one unit. And I think a lot of times people are like, "Well, I'm still going to look out for me." And then they forget that other person. And I think that's kind of where Patrick is.
Yeah. I don't know. Just watching him tonight, I kind of realized that he's more selfish than I thought. Just listening to him. Okay. Not only did he not notice his wife crying, but he's talking about how he wants more kids, which I'm sure this is something that they've discussed. Their daughter's only 1 year old. Like, you just want her to just keep pumping them out? Like, that's crazy. But then he makes the comment, "Yeah, I would be happy if we moved to Brazil because I feel like I would get a kid faster, since she said she needs her family close by." But in his mind, he's not only going to get a kid faster, but he can be there to hold his dad's hand more. He's very selfish in the way he moves. Yeah. And I learned that tonight.
I used to think he was a good, decent teddy bear, but you're right. He definitely looks out for his six first. He's like, "Oh yeah, whatever I want, you know, and yeah. if I have to do this to get what I want, I'll do that." But he definitely, you know, asking a woman to have a lot of kids really fast is like asking her to climb Mount Everest. Basically, it's like, and then he's not gonna help. And I don't want to say he's not there, but when you work out of town and you travel constantly, like with Jovi and Yara, you're not going to help. Like, you'll be there every now and then, but children need somebody there 24/7, 365. You don't just get to pick the days that you're going to be there for your babies. You have to be there every single day.
But also, she just got her boobs done. I just got my boobs done, the last thing I'm doing is popping out another kid. The reason I had to get my boobs done was because of the first kid. So
I think it's weird that she got the boobs, because that, in my mind, that means that she's already decided she's not having any more kids.
Yep.
Because, you know, that's those surgeries are not minimally invasive, and they have a lot of recovery. So for you to do that, and then she's like, oh, maybe in 5 years I'll have another one, then you're going to have to get them done again. I think that she's already made...
In 5 years, she's 32, so it won't be just as easy to have a kid.
Yeah.
That's when it becomes difficult, and she's done. She wants one, and she's done.
I mean, I respect that. Women should be the ones to decide how many kids you have, because they're the ones having them, right? Like, I know they're like, oh, I have like 5, 6, 7 kids. Cool. The woman is the one who has to go through each labor, which is one having, I remember watching the show where they hooked the men up to the machine to assimilate labor. The men ripped the stuff off of them and got up.
Yeah.
Women don't have the option of ripping the cords off and getting up. They have to follow it through, right? So they should be the ones who decide how many kids they have. Like
Kobe said. Like I've always said, if a man could feel what it literally feels like to be in labor, what it feels like to have your hoo-ha ripped open or lay on a table and let them slice you open on, if you have a C-section, like it's those machines, they may hurt, but it's not the real deal. You put those machines, you can put it up to 100%. You times that, multiply that by 1,000, if 10,000. Because when you are in labor, it feels like every bone in your body is being crushed at one time. And then you have to be feeling it cut on your hoo-ha when they have to cut you down there. Then you feel it to be stitched up. And then, like, the ones that have the C-sections, I mean, sometimes the epidural don't even work. You still feeling them cut on you. Then you're being stapled. You're being cut through 7 layers of skin. And then you're being stapled, and you have to have stitches. Come on. No. If a man could literally lay there and see exactly what it is, what it feels like to have a baby, he would think twice before he would even ask a woman to have a child.
You're right.
And those machines literally let you know what the contractions feel like, which are horrific, but that is also this much of child labor. That's just much. That's like the beginning of it.
The machines is like a tickle compared to what true legit labor pains are.
Yeah, they have no
men idea. Take advantage that they're only involved in the fun part of making kids. You know, they take full advantage, and then the kid comes out and looks like the man, and the woman's like, are you serious? Like, after all I went through, then the kid has the audacity to look like you. Like, oh, so Sophie said that they came to the tell-all not together but as friends. But she reacted really strangely to that scene with the bottle service girl, who wasn't there, by the way. Really weird. I thought she was going to be there.
She's got to show up, right?
Like,
she got to.
Like them not to have a little messy bottle service girl. Because remember, they had the girl from Gino's bachelor party. She showed up, right? Or on the screen. She was there in some capacity. She got to be there. But Sophie was, like, hurt that he was entertaining this girl. He said that he didn't get her information, but then she said that she saw the girl on his Instagram. But Rob is a public figure. You can't.
But that doesn't mean that he got her information. Right. I mean, she could have started following him on Instagram.
That's what he said. She found me on Instagram and started following me. Guess what? I found him on Instagram and started following him.
Did I? Exactly. I never asked.
You're sleeping with him, Cara, if you did that.
Probably.
What really irritates me about Sophie is her level of hypocrisy, yeah, where she left him like less than 3 months after that they got married and never moved back for almost a year, and moved in with a woman who is she's bisexual. The woman claims she's not, but we weren't born this morning, yeah, right? We know what's going on. And she's irritated that he's entertaining other people when she won't pick up the phone. She won't give him a straight answer. Have you noticed how many times Rob has asked her over the course of this season, can she come back home so they can work things out? And she's like, I don't know. I don't know, because I was going back and I'm like, has Sophie ever given him a clear answer of what the hell is going on in her head? Every time, and even tonight with Sean Robinson's asking her questions, we've never gotten a clear answer out of Sophie at all. Because she was like, well, I don't want to be divorced, but I also don't want to be married. And I was like, explain yourself. What does that mean? Like, you, I need
green card yet. She's got to play dumb until she gets that green card. And as far as Kay, we already know that Kay is lesbian. How many times did she say in the interviews that she was more man than Rob, that she takes care of Sophie in every way possible?
Nope.
How many, how many times did she say that?
At least 50.
Just saying.
She also said that she wished that Rob and Sophie got divorced so she could marry her. Do you remember she said that in the one?
He did say that.
Now she's 100% straight. She's also not interested.
Did you hear the part that she whispered under her breath, but it was written in subtitles? When Rob said, or Sean said, do you want to save this marriage? And Sophie hemmed and hawed, and Kay sat there and goes, just say no. That's ridiculous.
For somebody that just wants to be there as a friend, she's too, like, in my opinion, you would want your friend to be happy. And in my opinion, Kay just wants her friend to be single.
Yeah.
Because there are times when I'm having conversations with my friends and they're like, oh, he did this or she did that. And I don't always go straight to break up. Like, sometimes I'll give them some constructive advice. Like, hey, well, maybe you shouldn't have yelled, or maybe you shouldn't have done that. Maybe y'all can get through this. With Kay, it's get divorced, break up. He's a piece of garbage. You shouldn't be with him. And it's like, if you really were a true friend, you would want them to be happy. And if Sophie supposedly loves Rob and doesn't want to let him go, maybe you should be like, you need to explore why your feelings are so strong that you won't just let him go. Like, maybe you should figure that out. But her friend is just like, no, he's stupid. You should get divorced. You should just live with me. And that's not a true friend. A friend wants you to be happy, whether it's, you know, doing what you want them to do or not. Sometimes you have to let your friends do stupid things because you love them, right?
Yep. Absolutely. Sophie's so immature. And when she gets talking, and you can tell she starts getting worked up and starts crying because she's wrong. And everybody's coming at her because she's wrong. But the second she starts shedding a tear, everybody's like, it's okay, take a deep breath, we're here for you. That's exactly what she's going for.
She's playing the victim when we all know she's not the victim.
100%.
That is so interesting that you said that, because I was watching it tonight and I was like, I'm trying to understand how she's the victim when she's the one that packed up her stuff and left. And then she's like, well, he doesn't want to try. I was like, well, you gave up. When you packed up and moved out and refused to come back, you gave up. He did. Because she's like, he just gave up on us. And I was like, he's still chasing you after all this time. That doesn't necessarily mean he gave up. It means you're not giving him an opportunity to fix anything.
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, well, all the things that you've done. And I was like, what did he do? And all she keeps saying is, hey, Kobe. All she keeps saying is, oh, well, he was jerking off to women on texting and sexting or whatever. And I was like, okay, wrong, horrible, shouldn't have done it. But if he's not doing it now, if you want to be with him, can you forgive him and move back in and try? You know, and this was the same thing that Michael was saying too. He was like, yeah, I sent voice notes to a woman 2 years ago. She won't let it go. And it's like, again, if you don't want to forgive someone, you have to rid them from your life. You don't have the option to string them along and punish them for the rest of their lives. Forgiveness is not just for them. It's for you, because you're carrying hatred for that person along. So you're carrying hate in your heart. So if she doesn't want to forgive him for what he did, she's got to divorce him and move on. You know, and I feel like a lot of times in relationships, people are so hurt, they don't want to give the person up. And Jasmine does it too. They don't want to give the person up. They want to keep them and punish them.
Yeah.
And it's like, we are not higher powers. We're not gods. We don't get to punish people for their mistakes. That's beyond our control. Karma will find them. If you don't want to forgive them, let them go.
Absolutely.
Well, she can't divorce him until she gets her green card, because we all know that's what she wants. And she's she can't play victim if she's not with him, which she does that on every show that we've seen with them, she plays victim. I mean, in the beginning, I think all three of us was on her side until we got to see her real side. But now we're seeing that it isn't him, it's her.
She's a good manipulator, and she had us all under her spell. The first season, I was like, oh, Rob's such a douchebag. He's so mean to her. He treats her bad. He writes her chore lists. I was like, he's such a bad guy. And it's like, some people are very good at making themselves the victim in every situation. And I think Sophie is the queen of being the victim. She can make people think that she did nothing wrong and the world is out to get her and against her.
Also, but it just reminded me, it's just like Ed and his stupid two-facedness. So just like he was talking shit about Michael that night and then Michael walked up behind him. Then he's talking to Angela and he's all buddy-buddy with Angela again and talking shit about Michael. The second Angela walked off the stage, Ed ran over there, shook Michael's hand. Hey, buddy, how you doing? This guy, him and Angela just need to go. Let's just clean house and get rid of these fools. They can take Sophie. They can take Jasmine. They can take Ed. They can take Angela. Get rid of them. Let's start a single life with all these extras. All the underdogs.
So what's the deal with... Okay, so Ashley said something. She was like, if it's yellow, let it mellow. What's the deal with people not flushing the toilet after they go? This is a huge...
First of all, if you come up in my house and you don't flush the toilet, you never allow in my house again. And no, that is disgusting. That is disgusting. You can use the bathroom outside like a dog. You ain't using it in my bathroom.
Confused. And they're like, oh, it's late at night. I don't care what time it is. I don't ever want to come into the bathroom and find somebody else's use of the toilet. Like, it's a pet peeve of mine. Like, if I go anywhere and I see somebody didn't flush before me, I'll literally go to a different bathroom. Like, it just really...
The only time it's okay is if you're camping.
Well, you can't flush it when you're camping, right? Like, there's nothing you can do about it. You
gotta go to the woods. Well, unless there's an outhouse.
A lot of people have, like, the little portable toilets, the little porta-potties that they keep in, like, a boat. Camp tree. I mean, you wouldn't know, George, because you don't go to the woods.
But this is all news to me. Whatever you're saying is news to me. Last time I was in the woods, I was on a road, and there was just woods on each side, and I was driving.
No,
that's the last time I was in the woods.
My parents, they always had, it's almost like a child's porta potty, if you will. It's just a small thing. You go out on the boat. You're not going to dump it in the freaking ocean. You're not going to dump it in the water. That's disgusting. So you have to wait until you get to where there's gray water area. That's the only time it's ever okay. Or if you're camping, you got to wait until there's a dump site. That's the only time it's okay.
It's just gross. And they actually checked the toilet, but the seat was up. So I'm assuming that Rob went after her. But I don't know. Like, is
Toby
that like
was a... on that. He's like, let's go check.
Well, yeah. Is that because somebody said on Twitter, because I was like, why is that thing? And a girl replied and she said, if you have ADHD, sometimes you don't. Is that like a thing where people just forget to flush? Because I don't.
What does ADHD got anything to do with flushing a toilet? I know a lot of people with ADHD and they flush the toilet just fine.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. Like, it's, I don't know. It's just self-explanatory. I've never, like, I grew up, first of all, I was raised in a house with, like, my mom and my sister. So if I ever did forget, I was reminded by two pretty loud women, flush the toilet. Like, so it was pretty instilled in me, you know, flush the toilet every single time you go. Nobody wants to find anything in there. So for me, it's never been, like, anything that would cross my mind to not. And even if it is late at night, like, I don't know, well, the bathroom in my room, it's so far away from, like, the sleeping area, nobody would ever hear. Like, it's behind different doors, you know, so it's not that, but I guess in, like, a more compact home where if the bathroom is right over next to the bed, I guess if the person works at, like, 5 in the morning, you might not want to wake them up at 2. I guess that could be an option. I don't know.
Well, I mean, How loud is your freaking toilet if it's waking people up? I think you
have
plumber issues.
That's true too, because
I mean, I can flush.
Does it have a muffler on it?
Dee Dee said, does it have a muffler? Does it have a motorcycle engine? Like, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's not even that serious. Like, I know when I'm like downstairs in my house, if somebody flushes one of the upstairs toilets, you just hear like water for like 3 seconds.
Right.
Because it's like going, you know, it's like a pipe, I guess. Right, so you'll hear
it's
like.
It's not going to wake up the people downstairs.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to wake up. I only hear it because I happen to be awake and probably standing near wherever the pipe is running. Oh, what's up, JJ?
For how long did she have to pee in an outside toilet? Was she just shitting in this toilet and leaving it for everyone else?
That is a good question. That's a good question because this was shared. Didn't he say with like 3 or 4 other apartments, right?
Yeah.
So was she just literally leaving stuff out there for the other tenants to flush? That's a whole.
So livid. Oh my gosh. If I had to share a toilet, well, I'd be livid if I had to share a toilet with other units anyway. But if I was having to pee outside like that and I went in and someone else didn't take care of their stuff, I'd be knocking on doors. Yeah.
It would but be a
I was surprised
thing.
On how many people said in the tell-all that they do not flush the toilet.
Right.
I was so surprised. Oh, what?
Me too.
Yeah.
That's
this was, I didn't realize that this was a thing. That's why I was like, I have to talk to y'all about this because I didn't know that people did this. And it's like a pet peeve of mine. Like, y'all know I have like pet peeves and like, walking into a, like, if I go to a bathroom in public and it's not flushed, I'll just go to a different stall.
Okay.
Like, it's.
No, I'm gonna redact my statement there because in my old house, probably, I don't know, 15 years ago or so, if someone was in the shower and you flushed the toilet, it made the water cold. So you did have to wait to flush until someone got out of the shower.
That happened too. In the house where I grew up in. You're 100% right.
So that at that point, it's okay. But as soon as my water goes off, your ass better be flushing that toilet.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You're right, because that does happen depending on how, I guess how old your house is, the plumbing, because you're right, all the cold water will go there, and then you'll burn them. They'll be in the tub, and you're, like, cooking the person in the shower.
Yep.
You're 100% right. That happened in the house where I was growing up. Because I did it a couple times with my mom and my sister, and it wasn't a good experience. They basically scolded me each time. They were like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're 100% right. But other than that, you know, if you – and the odds of you being in the bathroom and someone being in the shower at the same time are pretty low, right? I feel like that's a
right.
It was just – when I was watching it, I was just like, this is a weird thing. And she's like, oh, Rob just gets mad. And I'm like, I would totally get mad too, though. Right? Like, I have a cat, and she goes to the bathroom, and I don't ever have to see it until it's time to clean the box. So it's like, you're a human. So why is he having to come and clean up behind you? You know, like, I get why he gets annoyed. You're in a grown adult woman. You know, he expects that you will be able to use the bathroom on your own. That's an expectation, right? And you don't live up to that expectation.
Absolutely.
Pineapple says, I'm sorry, she sounds like a slob. She does.
Yeah,
she kind of does, you know, and I think that it doesn't help that she's such a hypocrite. And I think that that's what really irritates me about her, because, you know, she's young. She's 24 years old. I can't hold her accountable for all of the things that she does because she's not even fully developed. Right. Like she's still growing as a woman. Right. Like 23, 24 year old women, they still are developing their common knowledge and intelligence for life.
She
showed
her emotion with a stuffed animal. So.
Right. Like she's still a teenager mentally, so I don't even hold her accountable for a lot of the stuff she does because it wouldn't be fair to hold her accountable.
At least she didn't have her Family Dollar wig on tonight.
She was wearing her real hair tonight, and it looked good, right? It did.
Yeah.
She looked great. I like her much better with darker hair. She looked really good. I was happy that she figured out her hair situation. Unfortunately, the show will be streaming forever, so we will always see that mop, that dry mop on our system. But she definitely looked a lot better. And, you know, she's still Sophie, though, right? Like, she's still Sophie.
I'd like to take a moment to appreciate the fact that Claire has not been on, and let's hope she doesn't come on.
I hope so.
But It's been nice.
I hope that she doesn't come around. I feel like she's such a grifter. And I feel like, at first I used to think that she was worried about Sophie. I think she's just worried about herself. Because, I mean, let's be honest. Is Sophie in danger in any way being with Rob, or is Rob in danger?
Also, wasn't this tell-all filmed in February?
Yes. That's around the time that she was posting those videos.
Yeah. She was of,
killed,
right?
Oh, wait. Isn't that when she got arrested? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So she may have been unable to attend. There. Yeah. So, yeah, it might not be that they didn't invite her. No, actually, this was filmed in, no, you're right, February. Yeah, so she might not have been able to attend even if she was invited. I'm happier with her not there. You know, I feel like she's been grifting around for a long time. Because I was like, I'm trying to figure out, they invited her here for the wedding and she's still here. Like, she's like, no, I mean, this is a free country, everyone's allowed, but it's just like really weird that she came here for their wedding and so far never left.
Yeah, it's a
right
country, but it's not her country.
Probably see her on the next Single Life.
Oh, you know, she would date whoever she needs to date to stay in the game, right? I feel like she
can hook up with Kay
or Big Ed. I feel like her and Big Ed would be pretty good because I feel like they would fight all the time. And I feel like Ed would get back what he was given because she's definitely not going to take it. So he would meet his match.
A lot of people like Ed, want to see Angela and Ed in a relationship.
I would love that.
I saw that. That would be really, see, I want to say fun to watch. But again, we shouldn't be watching abuse. You know it's going to be abusive. But I'd still watch it.
I would.
Is that wrong? I probably would because.
That I would watch.
I feel like it would be like a karma episode where we just watch because he would try to go toe-to-toe, she would go toe-to-toe, and it would not end well. They would, there, somebody will leave on a stretcher, and I don't condone that, but I would watch it.
Where Ed and Angela are both suffering, I'm there all the way.
I'm 100% ready for that. All right, so we're gonna wrap. We got like, we only got a few minutes left. We're going to hit our hour, but we're going to come back tomorrow. The other way, we're finally meeting the new people tomorrow. We're like 5 or 6 episodes in. So I don't know if their relationship fizzled out or whatever early, but we're going to meet the at least one new couple. I think there's 2 though, guys, that we haven't met yet. So we're going to meet them tomorrow. Then we're going to watch some more Forbidden Love. I haven't watched it. It comes on tonight. That is on streaming though. They haven't taken that off. So if you want to stream Forbidden Love, you don't need to like.
I canceled my Discovery Plus. I'll watch Max, but I canceled Discovery.
Oh yeah, I canceled Discovery over a year ago. But yeah. I think Max is going too. Like if they really want to keep playing with me, they can go too.
Yep.
They don't need my money. You don't deserve my money if you want to keep playing with me. You're not gonna get my money. Absolutely. I'm not donating to your fund. Okay, I'm not donating to your fund, right?
Yep.
All right, guys, make sure you're following both of my co-hosts, Kara and Didi. They're both tagged in this video. Follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Massey Show. And again, we'll be back tomorrow. I'll let you guys know the time for Forbidden Love and The Other Way. Thanks for watching and listening, and we'll talk to you guys really soon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.